interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change cricketism. They're going to be eating you in the future, fellow crickets. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 481. Thank you for tuning in, even in the pastcast or podcast or whatever you want to call in the archive offered through reallibertymedia.com. Lots of information there in the past. I hope you've been getting some, well, at least some of you are getting help how to focus your energy, how to look at the things in the world so that that train that's coming down on us doesn't hit you because you're not standing on the tracks. Learn how to avoid. Don't evade. That's a crime. But avoiding is your duty. Something came up this week. It happened a few months ago. A surprise. I don't know why it's a surprise. We can all go out of here at any time. We've suffered our own losses at the RLM family with Grimner passing here within the last year. Someone else that's in how I'm even here as a broadcaster, and I don't know if that would have been preclusive, but the first guy to with the foresight to get behind the woodshed was a guy named Raymond Powell. Raymond D. Powell, his name. Just found out this week that there was a memorial service for Ray back in April. Got a link for you if you want to see it. You can go through the YouTube to listen to it if you're interested. He was the very sharp guy. In fact, why the name came up and why we found out is he was a coding genius as far as programming. And however, he let me he was the one guy that let me onto a network before I even knew what I was doing. I still don't know if I'm really knowing what I'm doing, but to be take up a 1 hour slot at noon o'clock Pacific. And that's where that started, actually. Nothing happens until noon o'clock Pacific anywhere, is what I figured. And he put me on a broadcast with no equipment. He figured out how I could explain to me how to get on, how I get on now. No special mixers, no nothing. He had a nice system of automation that he programmed himself. And he did a whole lot more things. And I wasn't necessarily agreeable like anybody. He tended to follow into the terminology of the other side, if you will, the communitarian, if you will. We never talked about it like this. But he was part of the Relovution. Remember the E in Revolution spun as a three. Ron Paul promotes the action with Ron Paul's doing and all that. Remember, if you remember, if you were with us back then, and the Fed and all that, where'd all that stuff go, folks? But he was part of the Relovution broadcast network, and that's what we did. That's part of what he supported. That's part of what I was would speak to at the time. He was again the first guy with the foresight to get behind the woodshed, get me on, even though I was really. It's embarrassing how bad I was presenting at the time, but it was nonetheless got me on. A friend of mine helped to make that happen. He was the first one to accept, and I am grateful for his largesse to allow me, even though I wasn't like a polished guy at all, didn't have a history, and it was about the message, and he got that. But he has died, apparently, and I don't quite know exactly when. The information's a little scant for me. The services that we're watching on the internet now are from April. My condolences to the family. And that's to his family and then the family that was us, those that would do this. And from there I went on to other, hopefully, bigger and better things, even though listenership from this effort is not near as what I was ever thinking. It's what Raymond always worked for. Try to get everybody to work peacefully. In fact, he has some projects he has or at least promoted that I see now after seeing that he has passed. Going to see where, because I hadn't talked to him for a long time relative to that broadcast effort at, I think it was rtrradio.com. He kept going in the coding and he started his own cryptocurrency that looked like it was attempt to you'd make a platform that allowed for truly decentralized interactions. So he always focused on the things that made us more interactive and more free. My hat's off to his efforts there. And it's a sad day when we find out he's no longer here to move that forward and help us move that forward. He's truly a talented programmer and coder. Again, condolences to the family here as we continue behind the woodshed, what he allowed to help start in getting me into broadcasting such that it is today. One of the threats that we're also searching out that is against us in this genocidal move of the world, somehow someone's decided that there's too many of us and how we're going to go ahead and do it. In Montreal, look over and glance and see. Thank you for entering into the RLM chat. Appreciate that you're there and appreciate your support and your endeavors on your end. The continuation of this fraud that's going on us as if science now, again, you understand epidemiology, the fun, a big old word, does not mean science, it means statistics. So this is the only thing they're using. Technocracy relies on data, however manipulated, to get you to buy into it and to get you to drop your guard and to give consent. It's most importantly because you trust. If I get through all this today, you're going to hear that becomes very important. It's always acknowledged that trust is the importance. The trust of the governed is what they need. And as long as you continue to be silent, you're giving it. And if you argue in the wrong way, you're giving it. And then if you buy in, you've given it up. But we now hear, and I wanted to present this as the beginning. I'm going to move from here to a new subject matter here. But the trial for a potential universal flu vaccine opens at NIH Clinical Center. What caught my eye on the title alone was the universal flu vaccine. This has never, ever, ever been explained to us to be possible. Because the virus of what's identified as influenza completely changes why the vaccines can't work. So I didn't get through reading this study. They're already moving to a study for people in clinical trials. How and what the technology is they think they're using to make a universal vaccine. And I hope that word didn't just trigger a whole bunch of things. I'm looking at an NIH report from NIH.gov that you can get a hold of later if you can't type it in and get it yourself right now live. The phase one clinical trial of the novel influenza vaccine has begun inoculating healthy adult volunteers at the National Institute of Health Clinical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. Isn't that where the military is? The placebo-controlled trial will test the double blind, the safety of candidate vaccine BPL-1357 and its ability to prompt immune responses. Well, prompting immune responses can be as simple as giving you a poison. The single site trial can enroll up to 100 people, and they're asking for your buy-in, your trust, and your participation. It says here in this NIH.gov website, that help you sound minds? These people. Influenza stickers that can provide long-lasting protection against a wide range of seasonal influenza viruses as well as those with pandemic potential. Boy, this is really forward-looking, isn't it, on all the things that may happen but aren't? How presumptive of condition have we put us in that we continue to be crickets to? The pandemic potential could be invaluable public health tools, said NIAID Director Antonio S. Fallprey to Jaws, otherwise last name spelled Fauci. Yeah, I hope you understand this. These names are told to us. Fauci figuratively means fall prey to. In the language of his name, it means Jaws. Quote, the scientific community is making progress on this pressing global health priority. The BPL, British Petroleum, 13571 candidate influenza stickers being tested in the clinical trial performed very well in preclinical studies, and we look forward to learning how it performs in people. Haven't we heard this story before? Is the problem with this entirety? I hope by now trust is lost. I hope by now you hear the attack coming of a universal snicker. In this case, I can only surmise it's a gene juice sticker, because there's nothing in the past that has ever said that viruses can, because of their, mutative capacity, cannot be actually made and predicted into the future. Heads up to those that may understand what I've been talking about for a long time, now exposed beyond question, beyond doubt, and how they got more than half, at least we're told, have more than half of the population to agree. I don't know. I wonder where I live anymore. But we are also of knowledge as we move along here. They can be predictive that way, and they can do so-called human safety trials, which we understand they never really tested for that. The efficacy, it seems, they test for is not really for the safety, more than the safety of them getting away with the crime. How efficacious is it to get away with the crime? Can they do it? And it sounds like they can do it pretty well. We're told there's a sucker born every second or minute, was it? Maybe it's now a second. And I hope you're not in that circus tent. I was also brought to my attention through email. Thank you very much for this. Not something I would typically come across. I don't watch TV. I don't have Netflix or Amazon. I don't do any of the movie stuff. I'm not really a movie fight. Is that a word? Did I make up another one? That I would really know, but I've been told there's lots and lots of prior movies. I use one to reference. Matrix is not a movie. It was from the movie The Matrix, one of the few movies I did see in the movie house. And I think you had to see that movie in the movie house. It did something to me, folks. Experiencing that film did something. It spoke more greatly and explained to me there's maybe some, what we hear about being influenced subliminally, as I studied, I don't know why I was studying it way long before, just coming into what we call it, I guess they call it middle school now, junior high school we called it. I was always interested in subliminal suggestions and subliminal advertising, more importantly. But that movie was part of that, and there was a bigger message to be understood and actually experienced. But that's one of the few movies I saw. Well, there's a TV program, I suppose, that I guess I'm having to shoot a little bit in the dark about it, because I couldn't get quite enough information that someone who listens to me identified. If you listen to what they call the program recently that just finished up, I guess its first season, I think it's on provided by Amazon. Was called The Terminal List. And near the end of that, I guess it's mentioned, the substance is mentioned in episode 3, the best I can calculate. But the important thing is not about this. It's about that in these movies, in this entertainment, we can see that we're told stuff, or we can see that we could be told stuff, whether or not it's really, I have never talked to anybody to say this is proven, that this is intentional. Although it's hard to deny that it might be intentional, it sure sends a lot of messages that seem to predict the future. And I want you to understand this prediction of the future. We're seeing now this interesting correlation that the emailer has made, referring to the things I've talked about Title 50, that is also then you saw Clint Richardson put in his lethal injection video and read it to you if you'd listen. And listening for the exceptions that I also... I think a gentleman, Patrick Jordan, may have gotten from Clint and some others, I'm told, that are picking up on this Title 50 connection. And you can't do biological weaponry, and you can't do chemical weaponry unless you fit the exception. What I've been identifying for you is called dual use. They've got to show a benefit. Well, the emailer, aware of these things, picked up on this The Terminal List program. That was on TV or Netflix or Amazon. I don't remember. Excuse me for not knowing all this, but or remembering. It's just so much. That they mentioned this thing called the Project RD4895, which, when you have the eyes to hear, and eyes to see, eyes to hear, that's what's going on, the eyes to see and ears to hear, you're listening to, apparently, and I can't get it, a dialogue about the problem that we talk about in Title 50 in human experimentation. Specifically, I was given the heads up that it would be relative to Title 50, Section 1520, which it might be 20A. Nevertheless, the human trial question was coming up, and this was an unknown human trial on, the story goes, on a Navy SEAL group that goes through and explains, and the reason why I'm telling you this, only to say that the emailer was interested in what leverage this could be. My response was, I think it's its own leverage, given you want to virally send this out. Once you visit the actual clip, which I don't have, listen to how it's set up, listen to the context, and then if it's saying exactly what we're talking about here, point to the law that they're claiming and talking to that they are doing to people. And this is partly why, only reason why I, even in my hesitations to talk about it, because I haven't seen the clip. But I have a link for you that talks about the clip and mentions that there were side effects and inoperable tumors that came from this project that was supposed to get rid of PTSD, all plausible, all high-sounding, benefits that actually had problems that ultimately you're based in the problem of the corporate profits. And one of the aspects of it, well, let's get rid of that platoon of guys that we gave this experimental drug to, and that if we get rid of the platoon that got the tumors that are the evidence of the problem that we can't show, if we get rid of those people, we get rid of the evidence of the harm. And the emailer and I, on that discussion, found that it kind of mimics what we just saw happening. Now, my other additional observation is, if we can move this as a, since people are enamored by entertainment, this would be the voice to speak through to show this is what's going on. This is where the law, you point to the law. This is what they were supposed, what they're talking about. This is the dual use. This is the harms they never really test for. But they decided to get rid of people instead of admit that there was a problem or abandon that line of profit. However anybody wants to interpret this would be up for them to send out an attempt to use this as a either an admission of what they just did, or typically this entertainment looks forward. And I'm thinking the question, not a fact, but a question, are they anticipating something that's coming in the future that we are savvy to, that we actually see in time now, that's coming in the future, something else. And so I'm now going to be looking forward and seeing in the future whether or not this was anticipating something, because they don't think that there's anybody in the world that can actually see this stuff now, finally. There's more and more and more people seeing this stuff, but their notices are coming out. We're actually able to see the harm the time that the movie comes out. We won't have to wait 20 years like The Matrix to find out that it's not a movie. It was predictive of the plan. In other words, when you predict, so 100%, I told you it's a plan. It's not a prediction. So I just found this interesting. If nothing else, in the small screen, they've gone through and explained the very condition that speaks to the Title 50 problem that's right in your face. It's been right in your face. What I've talked to you about, Rand Paul actually playing his part to allow a congressional record to show a dual use, the products of which have never been safety tested, will not be safety tested, and when they do find that there's a harm and there's bodies of evidence, they're not beyond killing those off. And I look at the VARS system and say, wow, that's pretty consistent. I guess your mileage may vary, but on the point of the leveraging, what's the leverage that can be made? I think it's important. I think this entertainment showing truth that can be amplified a bit may be its own leverage, and it just has to get out there. maybe somebody that has the capacity and has the ability to keep it out of DMCA violations, which we may have a story here coming up. If you add enough to it, like the law is supposed to allow to you, you can highlight some of this yourself, get the clip, highlight, add to it, make the descriptions on top, and become a point source for hopefully what might be a vector disclosure of what's going on underneath the scenes, if you will. I don't see it's underneath the scenes. I think it's exact. They're following the law. They know how to follow the law. And they're making sure the public notice through all these measures, whether it's the news, you call the news, I call it the notice. Entertainment is that same style of notice. They're telling you what's really going on. And while this truth is going out, and while you might be able to promote the terminal list on Twitter, we find Twitter censors story of British mother who died after reaction to COVID vaccine, as if a cover-up to get rid of the evidence is something that Twitter should be doing. It's too bad that she wasn't, this story about this woman was real and not entertainment. The three children in the UK were left without a mother after she died from a massive stroke determined to be caused by a coagulation that formed after she received the AZ sticker, gene juice sticker. But Twitter is labeling conversations about this information taking place on the platforms as misinformation. Again, enough stated, if you just come out with the information, you get censored. If you bring it as entertainment, you don't. It's also part of what I'm telling you. Start speaking in the black and white so that you you can speak to something that they can't speak to themselves. The black and white becomes the fiction that they can't speak to. Back to this, so this mother who's trying to tell, who dies eventually, trying to tell her story, censored by Twitter. The only thing that comes to my mind is these folks at Twitter and all these censors that are censoring this information, they have a moral, if nothing else, blood on their hands. I don't know if there's going to be justice for that. I can only hope so. These people have blood on their hands. And being able to censor by Twitter may not be absolute now. As I've been saying, someone's going to have to step forward who has the ability to challenge Twitter. And that has just happened. We hear here maybe less last week. Alex Berenson settles with Twitter back on platform after long-term ban. In August 2021, former New York Times reporter, independent writer, and author Alex Berenson was permanently suspended from Twitter for daring to question the efficacy of gene sticker juice. Berenson's original offending tweet still cannot be shared, but the updated recreation is below on this article where you can find it, where he says that sticker juice don't stop infection or transmission. It's something in a car, and it doesn't stop either what's going on. So he said the truth. He then sued them for banning him. They have agreed that he gets to get back on despite their permanent ban. And there's some still in the case, you'll see, outstanding cause that hasn't been done away with. He apparently can't speak of it yet. But it looks like it's a contract basis. And that's what I was telling you. I don't know if he's doing this because I haven't seen his case. But I was saying the unconscionability of how Twitter works may be an angle, and I don't know what kind of contract argument he has with Twitter, but it seems like that might be a way to go and what he might be on that still remains available to him at the federal level. So if someone was able to step up and going against this censorship, these people that have blood on their hands that will stop information, lie about it, fraudulently assert it is misinformation, and in the process, harming the one who has got supposed free speech, if you will, even on the private platform, supposedly, right? Now, this is another thing you start to see about this Berenson case. They are keeping people from understanding, given fuller disclosure. And they have no real moral right to do that at all, causing lots of harm to people. That is apparently not correct. And so I'm not sure what this is going to do for everybody, but we do have an insight that permanent things on Twitter may not be so permanent when you have the proper answer, the proper response. And it'll be, I don't know how this will come out. It'll be interesting to see what the proper complaint was that forced Twitter to capitulate and then still caused a remainder to be held before the court for continuing adjudication or a negotiation. As I said, behind Woodshed, we're looking to see what can we do. I'm not standing around with our mouth agape, wondering what we're going to do with our little sign that says help as the train is coming down the tracks we happen to find ourselves stepping on. Obviously, they couldn't permanently ban, and they couldn't permanently ban the truth. Look how many years has it taken to get here, because finally someone stepped up. Another victory of sorts here, relative to your anonymity, and this is something I tried, you know, I keep telling you to keep as best you can. Don't just buy into this stuff. A victory, they're claiming, court rules the DMCA does not override First Amendment's anonymous speech protections. Copyright law cannot be used as a shortcut around the First Amendment's strong protections of anonymous internet users, a federal trial court ruled on Tuesday. The decision by a judge in the United States District Court for Northern District of California confirms that the copyright holders issuing subpoenas under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act must still meet the Constitution's test for identifying anonymous speakers. Now, you understand, Nair, just a quick thing without a deep dive, because I think you all can need to do that. You need to see the words. This is so important. It's coming through a lot of the people I'm working on. It's round and around and around. We said, well, let's read for that. Read this. Go read this. You need to see the words, what they're saying. You need to see what the law specifically says, and then I'll come, you know, it'll be presented, and I'll say, look, right in here, here's the exception. You're going through that exception. That's what you're focused on. It's not absolute. And so you need to see this stuff when you're reading it. When someone claims a copyright, they have to claim it's right and that the exceptions don't apply before they can come after anyone. And in a way, this is really not anonymity. It's just that someone was anonymous, and that you have a copyright doesn't give you the right to reduce the anonymity, the free speech of someone to do so. You have qualifiers to do. Here we have again, nothing's absolute, nothing's permanent. Notwithstanding what it looks like, everything's absolute and permanent when we get run down. At that point, it sure seems absolute. So you got to step up for yourself. The restriction was put against uncloaking this guy underneath a copyright claim, and it was found to be proper. You can't use it unless you qualify your copyright and the exceptions don't apply. And so there we do have, if you look at what they're talking about, we have First Amendment rights, but it's not actually maybe as you might think. And something can't use it to use it as a club to beat you with. So this is an interesting thing. You start looking. I'm asking people when I bring these tabs up and these subject matters, look at what people are doing, how they win, why they win. Don't just throw in your ideas. Start working from what is actually working. A lot of times you may not understand that things aren't what you think they are. And my mind just triggers really quickly to like judicial misconduct. You would think it would be all kinds of misconduct, but it's not. It's like only five things, and it has to do with usually with money or conflicts of interest that are paid or alcohol problems, that kind of. They're only like just a few things. They're not all misconduct in the bit. The judges are giving almost otherwise absolute immunity to do all kinds of wrongs, and that would stand as law for that case. In this case, it looks like, objectively, we're looking at the victory, even though this is still in a district court. I'm not sure of the appeals. I wanted to just point out for you that because someone asserts a right doesn't mean they have it. And they have to fit the mold. And this is partly why you have to make your records right, too, for your side. You want to make sure that you have articulated the right and that no exception applies to you, which is what the courts attempt to do, to take, strip you from. And you have to be really cognizant of how that's, how what the court, a judge is saying is not correct. It's more due process stuff as well. Anyway, this is probably enough for you to, you can read. I think it is important. I think the copyright is not a general bludgeon they can use against you. I think it's proper that the user was protected. And so kudos to that side of the Twitter, for the Twitter user. And why that doesn't happen more, I don't know. But neither here nor there for me behind the woodshed at this point. Until you get involved, you won't be one of these people that are really starting to push back and show where the line really is. And also where the line, see, may not be. We don't know more about that case. I'm not going to read more into that. But this attacking you on your own free speech under a right of someone else to have profitability rights through the copyright, exclusive use. And the copyright is many, many, many more years than the patent. So, and they've expanded that. So this is, I've made some discussion about that in other works that went from public, thought to be private, were actually in the public domain for use, and no royalties are attributable to those, to anybody, even though there's fraudulent claims for them being made. This is another problem, and nobody really wants to go to court. I get that, but this is a time now where we're coming very short to having maybe no remedy other than going to the ultimate remedy, which is still not going to be the right answer, I don't think, up front, but it is still there. In other words, when the woke, if you will, crowd, those that are censorship-minded, use these things to come against you. And I mean, I put woke in quotes because it's not, I don't get how the word works. It's an extension, it's a co-option of a term, of a concept that's not actually what it's supposed to be done, as most of these people do in their terminological plunder of the language. That this idea that you say you're woke and you have, then we look at that it's like cancel culture, co-opting language, instead of being awake, as I thought the word started, and it starts really come wake up, you know, stop sleeping on this problem, stop sleeping on the rights they're taking from you, raise up from your slumber, become awake and aware. They co-opted woke. And they now made it cancel culture. So this is what seems to be driving organizations like Twitter, as we see, or YouTube. Their observations, or inside those systems, using the DCMA of private rights to shut you down, it's not absolute. And you need to carefully think about what's going on before you move forward and defend yourself. And you definitely do need to defend yourself. And you see, when you do, there are times when it seems that things are working, for as much as I may denounce them, and we have to test those even so. And there's a certain way to go through that, and I'm sure, well, I can't say I'm sure because I don't know. Well, EFF had to go through an attorney, if they helped promote this to get this outcome. An organization, an association has to have an attorney. There's no way else wise to get your right forward. But as they call them pro se, which is also an adulteration on what you might have right to do, that you are your own attorney, which is kind of an interesting problem. I don't want to get off the subject of discussion of proper rights, proper language, the use, the ability to use language, what it takes to use language in a proper way. What you might hear, I've heard in Oregon, there is no standard now. You don't have to have a standard to graduate. I don't know about anybody else, but when I look at that and I start watching these articles written by 30-year-olds, and I wonder why the grammar is so bad, well, that's what's starting to happen. Pretty soon, you don't have to have an actual understanding of your reality, which is just what the technocrat wants. They just want you to be compliant, do what you're told. But you don't even have to have a standard. Well, that's not universal. And in the middle of Wokeville, the San Francisco school board votes to end Lowell High School's anti-racist, in quotes, anti-racist lottery-based admission system after grades collapse. And so there's some people out there, right in the middle of woke land, and there's lots of woke lands, which I'm not so certain on the term at all, but everyone seems to understand that's cancel culture. Just cancel out your side, your what you want in your life, and make it what someone else believes they have the power to change for you, for the better that they've decided. San Francisco's last good public high school voted to end their merit-based admission system in 2021 as part of a great awakening. Lowell High School, which was previously overwhelmingly Asian and white, elected to switch to lottery-based admission systems and became around 45% Hispanic and Black. The previously top-performing school saw grades swiftly collapse, with 25% of freshmen and students receiving either a D or an F in the fall 2021 semester, Legal Insurrection reported. Quote, this ultimately led to an ouster of three school board members, and the Asian community played a major role in the campaign, close quote. San Francisco Unified School District Board of Education last week voted to return the school to their previous merit-based system. I'll end there. The point is that wokedom, the way they've had it, cancel culture, is found very quickly to destroy whatever was meritful. And I don't have a problem with merit. I have a problem with it being co-opted by the sustainable crowd, because they will bring it into destruction as well. True merit can be objectively tested or by activity. And so when you're, and the other thing is, it can't, merit can't cover for when little ones are having trouble as they're coming through. It is important to identify those students that have trouble. And we all have seen, as myself in my own experience, we as little ones learn at different rates. I believe in that being taking shape, but it also would have to restructure what we want the kids to learn back, if you will, back to the future of what the merit we want them to be able to function in, and the merit needs to rise to the level that they are functional in society. They contribute to the society. Don't become just the yes woke that just agree. That's a governed, but not the actual consent. Anyway, move on. Okay, we can go more into this, but they went back to merit system. My experience with the different students that were not at the same level was when I was in really young. I was made a tutor. I didn't know it at the time. I thought I was helping, you know, my fellow students, just like me, but I had a capacity that I could help others. And I could, but I didn't know and realize that was another, if you will, a plan of attack against achieving better. Because I've realized only way after, all the years that I was tutoring, I was not spending time to advance myself. I was looking backwards and reiterating the old stuff and never looking forward to absorb, in my best capacity at the time, absorb all the new stuff as fast as it would come to me when I was ready. Not that being a tutor in my own grade and below was bad. It was just that it diminished me and my overall capacity. And so there's a very real thing about giving students information when they need it, the way they need it, and not put political agendas in their mind, because you're certainly not making people, there's no bar to reach in order to make you, to give you an idea of what is expected of you when you move in. And that word expected has got quotes around it too. We are all different, but we do have to function, and we're presumed. My problem here is, so the system, the justice system, relies upon the presumption that we all function with some minor, the minimum level of acumen. That this school quickly found you could not remove that without bringing everybody down, which exposed a different type of problem, which some people put in as a race problem. And it's not necessarily that at all. Now, I'll tell you, I've signed a so-called, I don't know, I've never at the time didn't know and still don't know, never talked to him. Just looking at them, this is what we how we do this, white students were D students and F students as well. That's a different problem. And I hope we get back to the point where we start making clear, we get past this little rough spot in the road, and we get back to some kind of a standard that we can all hope for. Because I'll tell you what, coming through where I'm at now in life, looking around the nation and the world that are claimed to be at the same level, and I watched half or more of the populations succumb through not having that minimum capacity, I'm truly saddened and shocked. And I didn't even get the sticker. There's no, I still got sticker shock and didn't even get the sticker because it exposed this level of incapacity is bigger than I would have ever thought. I always thought I was kind of behind the crowd, wanted to be, not knowing, just tried to keep up by just doing more. And that was not really a problem. And then I found out a lot of people didn't do that. A lot of people actually took an easier way out. And then we found out we were all kind of messed up in our head. It all depended on how abused we were in certain ways. So we either decided not to continue, decided that maybe there was drugs. We might not have been wired right in our brain because of the food. And that was all another silent killer, if you will, without taking anybody out that they preyed upon. And so, moving back, a school has found, and I'm glad it's happening this quickly, but this is only one school, see? So, homeschool is a really good offering to you all that I've been suggesting for a long time. Part of my experience also shows, and I was able to identify for a lot of people, you can do it for yourself if you can find the books. If you look around the books that were school books that were printed around 1971 or 70 or 71, and then you look at books at 1972, you watch about half of the knowledge just vacuumed right from the pages of school books. And I noticed right there is where the change also happens in my perception of where people started to have problems, started to the levels started to drop, the understandings started to drop. It's why you can see people today make videos and we joke about no one not being able to point on the on a map and point out a country. That started to happen in about 1970-71. Interestingly, with the money not being backed by anything and a lot of other things and the imposition of this new sustainable wokeness, essentially. And I've used that word way too much this broadcast. Maybe I'm just going to stop that. So, merit, what they determined to be a merit-based system that put them at a high level is being returned to because it's not providing the level of acumen that the people that are the mothers and fathers of the students of which want to maintain. And so I'm stuttering again. You're going to have to hold the standard. And if that means pulling your little one out and doing it on your own, take responsibility for the acumen of your little ones, your progeny into the future, preparing them for what's going on, maybe not even what you can see today, maybe the stuff you can see when you have the eyes that you get behind a woodshed, that's what you have to start doing at this point until all the schools return to what, I don't know about the term merit-based, but that's what they use, so I'm going with that, some level of minimum standard that's enough to start to deal with the world as it's coming up. In a way, I hope I'm offering some of that here in looking at simple notice news stuff and showing and adding hopefully a nuance that maybe was not seen, maybe amplifies what's going on around what we're watching. And then more importantly for me over these last decades was to how do we combat it in a way that we can still make it through. Show be examples for how do we do that and get us back to some kind of, yes, back, folks, to some kind of normalcy. Yes, the normal, not the new normal. Some sort of basic acumen that we can all be proud to be the people that we are. Some form of system that we thought was not a system to beat us down and plunder us and look for ways to do so. The only people that are having an intellect that's functioning can keep that from them, is why you're watching this going on. And moving on to functioning, this is not, again, not something I was ever interested in. Lots of things on the TV, I'd tossed TV, I think. Well, certainly when I was moved into the mountains, I tossed the TV. That was back in the 90s. But I only heard things. As I visited people, I saw these programs on TVs, to my astonishment, shaking my head. But these characters, cartoon, I knew about but never watched, and so it wasn't a cultural thing for me to understand. But they're making their return. Why the anti-woke? That's why I'm using that word, because today a lot of terms in the titles use that term. Anti-woke Beavis and Butthead clip is so hilarious and a real threat to white privilege theory. Speaking to those that would impose a privilege upon everybody who's conceived to be white, no matter what your color is, if it's contrary to their view, you're white. You have a privilege. I don't know too much about the Beavis and Butthead, but there is interesting correlations. During the time that Beavis and Butthead was something, they did not experience, as characters, they did not experience woke. That wasn't even in their presentation. Apparently, Beavis and Butthead making a return, the author, the creator, jumps both feet into addressing and embracing white privilege. And I did watch the clip. I think it's funny. I don't know if I think it's overall funny. I'm still not impressed with Beavis and Butthead, but there is very high quality points being made about go ahead and embrace it and see where that takes you. And at the very end, you'll see where it takes you, but it actually butts up against the real problem, which is not identified by the woke. I don't know if this article is the why, but it is a bit of an exposure as to when a people have no foundation for what they're doing, attribute something to you. Part of the answer is to go ahead and embrace it, and you expose the ludicrousness of the imposition. And so it's like the humor, again, can bring out the truth. Making it humorous is also less threatening. And I appreciated it. I don't have a reason to talk about Beavis and Butthead, but to explain that there's people still doing their best to identify how not just that it's wrong or that it's an imposition or that it's ridiculous, but we're going to go ahead and embrace it, and we're going to fulfill that outcome. To the point that when you agree under the authority, in the cartoon, Beavis and Butthead are told they are woke and are privileged by an academic, a professor, and they're explained to by all the woke around them in the room what that means. They embrace that, and on the authority of the professor and their peers, they go about extrapolating what being privileged is. Pretty interesting. Pretty funny. Not so funny here about it, but you can see it. You can make your own assessment, and we get to move in through another possible option. Keep things light. Keep things humorous as long as you can, but when you speak right in the black and white, right on what you're supposed to, right in the process. You make your record. Another comedian refuses woke streamers' demand to censor abortion jokes, buys own special back for over $1 million. First of all, I didn't realize comedianship was so lucrative that he could save up $1 million. However, the point here is the gentleman who made the content, who was supposed to be being streamed on I think it's Amazon here, maybe this is the one that's Amazon, the comic Andrew Schultz, has used his life savings to buy his upcoming comedy special, Infamous, back from a previously unnamed streaming service, which freaked out and wanted him to edit and cut entire jokes deemed too wild. Some of you probably know that this about me, he speaks. I'm a very stubborn guy. So, long story short, I took the F-I-N-G, life savings, I took my life savings, and I bought my special back. He told followers on social media, asking them to spread the word so that his gamble pays off. Dedicated to his own work, will not let censorship be a problem. They wanted him to edit out all his stuff until it would be agreeable. And he said no. And I don't know more about the gentleman. I don't know, haven't heard too much about him at all. Andrew Schultz. He do offer a clip. I have to say, he knows, he hits, he's funny. I thought he was funny myself. I think he hits the topic as a comedian very well. And I think, and he does it as being funny as well. And what else do you say? You don't have to explain the joke. He's explaining a condition in our society. He can hit quite a few sides of it, and I think that's a very nice, intelligent approach. It shows how intelligent he is about these things. That, based on that, I would have to say, well, if he's going to say that his work is good, he's going to buy it back from someone that wanted to censor his words. That's an investment. Maybe people should consider removing some of the guess on that gamble. The point being, these people who likely do not understand the problem, do not understand the nuances of the problem on any side of this problem, might be educated by his words. And maybe that was the problem. That he says, no, you're not going to censor me. I'm going to reinvest in myself. And that's, again, take your responsibility and then moving forward with your best foot, and even when it's not known. And that's, I have to just salute that part alone, just that you're that dedicated. What am I pausing here? Comedy has a power. Comedy has a power. It can be poetic. It can be an underlying truth that no one wants to speak. It's a way to get at it. It's kind of like the fiction. In fact, I was watching a couple of other comedians work. It never occurred to me how they work. I'm noticing the whole entire venue, the show, the venue, the people in it, is like a magic trick. And watching the best of these people work is now, over the last few days, quite impressive. How intelligent these people have to be in order to pierce the prejudices of people. And as I said, I kind of throw my little jokes as we go along out, and I dry and all that, and I don't really laugh. So, sometimes you hear me laugh. I want to be a whole lot more fun, but I'm too wrapped up in the harm I see. But these guys have been able to step outside of that and tell us certain things. And it takes, I think, more I'm looking at it, it really does take a very high intellect in order to pull that off well. And we know the popular comedians. We need to hear that more. I think that if you are a comedian, take some notes on what they're doing and start to bring forward this counter to insanity, essentially. And that off alone should be enough to cause a smile to come on your face. To go, going after insanity is kind of an interesting, that should be a low-hanging fruit, don't you think? As the comedians are being shut down, and maybe we're finding they can't be through the gentleman who fought Twitter and won, he didn't shoot the sheriff, though, did he? At any rate, we have the resurgence, notwithstanding some of these victories and the right to continue to sell your, to not be censored, and Andrew Schultz is selling that, or making pre-orders if it's not already out, on his own website. So there's these avenues to go through to get around this, what looks to be corporate censorship and government, propaganda centers. We see the government itself not giving up in Washington, D.C. And I found this, I didn't realize this till today. I keep looking at the privilege they keep putting on everybody, but it doesn't, it's not suffered by the liberal in the big house in D.C. Yeah, the big house. Now, Disinfo Governance Board is back. Well, they had their shakeup, didn't they, quick? But it says White House Task Force to Address Online Harassment and Abuse, as they define. But I wondered why no one's hitting them for white privilege in that house, being it's the White House. Heads up, they are not giving up on deciding what is proper speech that then relates to proper behavior, the hallmark of what sustainable technocratic oppression is about. You will behave. The Disinformation Governance Board went belly up last month. Apparently the Orwellian authoritarianism was just too blatant. But the censorship agenda certainly didn't go away. It just changed forms. MAGA terrorists aren't going to castrate themselves. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The article keeps going on to meet your newest BDSM dungeon master and more innocuous sounding White House, the White Privilege House Task Force to Address Online Harassment and Abuse. So all the point is I want to do this little bit of joke, not so much. They're not stopping. They're going to try and continue to create the narrative, continue the narrative. The answer is to create viable ways, alternatives, and put them in our alternative places. And as I say that, that made sense to me to say, that's what I think RTR.com, Mayor Powell was doing, but we may have seen a bit in the Oracle broadcasting that I was also affiliated before, and now RealLibertyMedia.com. Notwithstanding the lack of hosts, which I would ask you if you have something to say, if you don't think I'm saying it right, if you think I'm using all the wrong references, if you don't think I don't know what I'm talking about, there's probably a spot for you on RLM, RealLibertyMedia.com, to become a host to tell me so, tell the listener so. Don't allow these people to maintain the narrative. Stand up with your own word, however you want to display it, to present it, and then fight for your right to be left alone to say it. Because government-funded booklet teaches Canadian kids to be suspicious of free speech. It's not just in the White House, the White Privilege House. It's in the Canuckistinian regime that now is saying free speech is misinformation. It's a harm. The insanity, I don't know what else to say about it. Fact checkers, quote, fact checkers are demanding YouTube censor more videos for misinformation, with one of the reasons being that no one is watching their content. Another attack vector, the censorship demand was made by Global Fact 9, a fact-checking conference organized by the International Fact-Checking Network. And I pointed that out because this is a global thing. This is really not just what we hear from the United States and is potentially just we may conceive of corporations coming out of the United States. This is an international web of deceit. Quote, as an international network of fact-checking organizations, we monitor how lies spread online every day. We see that YouTube is one of the major conduits of online disinformation and misinformation worldwide. This is a significant concern among our global fact-checking community, the IFCN previously wrote in a letter to YouTube. Anyway, it goes on. You can read all this stuff. But we know that these fact-checkers have their own agenda. They have their own way of co-opting language. If it's not within the cancel culture concepting, it shouldn't exist. And they will work to get the effect of your behavior, if they can't get your behavior, stricken from the world. And so you can go on and on about what they use for this so-called fact-checking. We find out fact-checkers are not fact-checkers at all. They're only the checkers to make more noise to advance certain agendas. They're just part, again, as we know, part of the deceit a government-funded booklet offered will vilify what that free speech at all, that it's out there and that nobody in the government says, but you can't do that, that should be a very big concern for you. And in one regard, because it keeps in the system. However, when it comes to actual application, we might see a different vector of control. As I've been telling you, you vote with your consent, you vote with your buy-in, you vote with your feet, your mouse, you vote with your consent to trust and your continued business with anyone. As we see how powerful this can be, the statement out of the Daily Mail, just close my Halifax account. They can stick their pronouns up there, their, his, or her, **E. Bank suffers exodus of customers after social media manager told them to leave if they don't like sharing pronouns on badges. This I have never really thought about. I don't really follow this stuff, but this story caught my eye because it never really occurred to me what's really going on, how insane this really is, not just about their, his, or her, or whatever they want to say. Remember, I already talked about this. You're supposed to be a he, a she, or the undescribed, the non-aligned. And then proper pronouns are you put a Z in front of those pronouns. So it would be Z, Zer, and because it's an unidentified whatever, it's called an it. You add the Z, it's a zit. That's the only three that should be available. I've already covered this. This still comes up as being news, and when it's forced upon people, they did what they thought they should do, which is what I've told you. Use your feet. Use your mouse. Run away. Stop presenting any kind of interest in it. Take your money, if it's there, out. Stop doing some action around this. Forcing proper pronoun usage. And the one they put it on, what caught me, they showed a picture, was a woman who supposedly the identity would be, the pronouns would be she, her, or hers. She had no question about her identity. Was interesting to me because that's what caught my mind, was that people are being forced to identify. People are employees, as the bank might say, to be respectful. But that got me to thinking. I'm not an English major, but I remember these pronouns, he or her or she, was third person. And one of the employees who were, her name Gemma, and Gemma is an interesting name. It's also a thing in a different language. Precious gem. Very interesting symbology going on and linguistic control going on. But just to the point of the third person pronoun, has anybody thought about that? I never thought about it until I saw this story. Forcing people to, first of all, to use the third person pronoun for somebody, what didn't go over too high. Great. Okay, they escape. A lot of people actually spend, if I understand this right, I don't know about how Kanukistan works, but to get a new mortgage costs some money. And people were dropping their mortgage in preference to others. So there was a lot of really upset people, and probably rightfully so. It was described as pathetic virtue signaling, alienating their customers. This is like probably the worst PR stunt ever you'll probably ever see in history to have to done this as well. But that didn't even still rise to the top for me because, you know, when we talk to people, and they want to be respectful to talk to people, are people aware that these are third-person pronouns? That when you're talking to somebody, you never address them in a third-person pronoun. But an employee who wants to be addressed in a third-person pronoun is agreeing, and here's the point about the buy-in and the ignorance, you're being to not either not be there or be an inanimate object described in the third person. I started looking at this, and I'm wondering if the people at the Halifax Bank, the one that was insisting that happens, I'm asking the question, are you folks okay? Am I watching Jab Harm? In short, a third-person pronoun is used when talking about another person or people not being addressed directly. Are you following that, folks? See, again, I never looked at this before. I just thought it was dumb. I mean, it makes no sense. Stop talking, telling me how to talk. Stop sticking your genitals in my face. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to things about what's yours, right? Not he, she, or her, they. Someone wants me to talk to them and not address them correctly when using a third person pronouns is insanity on its face. And if I was to say that, I'd still be vilified. Well, the insane will do that, won't they? Apparently, it appears, people aren't anymore wanting your, talking to Halifax here, your, see, I'm talking directly to Halifax, not zit, appears to be waiting for your third part. In their exodus, no one's waiting for your third-party pronoun values and are saying F you and F off. And for those of you grammar checking this are sensitive, hear me to say forget you and flake off. I now understand another element of the insanity, and it fits directly with what they want you to disassociate with. You, being spoken to directly, because they're going to treat you as the herd, and you don't have you, you have they. And they're getting it, what I would have thought to be intelligent people, to adopt a third-party pronoun as how they want to be spoken to. I'm stuttering right there. See, I don't even know where to go with that. Am I actually hearing this? And I'm telling you, I didn't really think about it before. I just accept, okay, that's what they want to do. No, I can't even speak English. Where do we drop our level of English? I mean, I know it was never that great. I'm working on to be better. I try to keep my commas and my things, all my right grammatical things, but when I looked at a third-party pronoun, and someone saying, I want to be called an inanimate object or not here, is not respecting them. And so I'm not going to disrespect them, notwithstanding how much they plead with me. How's that? But the level of ignorance here and the acceptance of harms and the creation of this disassociated future is a really scary one. That I think when it, and this is what we talked about kind of last, well, we did talk about last week, the ultimate answer, those that are not crazy, but don't have a way to speak to crazy, and it's gotten too pressurized, may decide, we're going to go first, we're not going to talk no more. Now, part of me says fine, but another part of me is really having some trouble with that. Now, when we move into staying in Kazakhstan, they think free speech is a harm. They also are going to say, well, you know, the First Amendment required the Second Amendment for the United States people to protect. Well, Trudeau's right up on front for this to make sure that both of those are coming together. In a video, Trudeau admits he is banning guns and how this moves along. Not maybe a surprise to a lot of you in Kazakhstan, certainly not to me. But it's all based on what happens in Japan. Not locally to them, nor based in any sense. Again, these people are insane. That the a former prime minister and one candidate in Japan was assassinated is used, again, for him, Trudeau, to come out and discuss this matter. And he uses it, again, I don't know if it's a Freudian slip, he uses it to say they're going to be controlling guns, which caused more guns to be bought, which is, I think, always an interesting response. But instead of the word restrict, what was it? I can't remember now. It was a, oh, darn it. apologize. Instead of, there was a word that they used in the bill. He said instead of that word that they were going to ban the guns. Is the, this guy, well, what can you say? I'm stuttering again. These people are global leaders in the position insinuated into your countries that your silence against this is working to make everything you do illegal. And you saw what happened in Australia when they disarmed those people. That's what's happening and moving right now. The notice to you, in a, if you will, even if it's Freudian slip, their intention is to literally ban all guns in Kanukistan. How they're doing in the United States is, as I said last week, they make it so it's very difficult for you to get at the gun, and they have all their plausible reasons to essentially ban the gun from you, each one of you. And I say that and pause because the incremental nature, the mental hold on people about their rights in the United States are much stronger, and they can't come at you in your, they can't come at your brain, your mind, your intellect directly. And so they use the Bar Association members, the, those that use the words to destroy you, those that use the words to evade you, under color of a judicial branch, in order to confound you. And so you can see how much easier if they don't hold, if your education system doesn't hold that level at high level, people are toast in the future. And they're toast now, but they're toast, absolutely toast in the future. No one will have a sense about banning or free speech or any of that. They won't even have to talk about it because you won't even be exercising. So right across the border, and I don't know, is it something of the water up there in northern United States of America and lower Kanukistan? Even though the Supreme Court explained you can't make a condition on the possession of a concealed weapon, right after what they did in the United States, close to where Trudeau would be, like I said, is it in the water up there, folks? A New York governor to require 3 years of social media history to obtain concealed carry permit. Again, tying you in, understanding that the internet, the web of things here, the internet battlefield of things, is used against you. There, it didn't matter what the Supreme Court said, striking down the law, that they, you're required to show proper cause to obtain a concealed carry license. Governor Kathy Hochul promised legislation to counter the ruling. To that end, Hochul on Friday signed a sweeping gun legislation into law that adds several layers of red tape for those who wish to obtain a gun in the state, including a new rule requiring anyone applying for a concealed carry permit to submit a 3-year history of their current and inactive social media accounts. Point is here, these folks mean business. There's not much that's going to stop them on their way. And this leads us to the fact that if you don't give us a room to do something, you're not allowing us anything but to war. And that's a really concern for me because most people pragmatically would say, let's get this done. And the very thing you woke, should I disrespect her? I guess not. You woke governor? I won't. The very thing you're attempting to keep from us that you don't have the right, because that right is to stop your tyranny, is what we're going to immediately use because we're tired of you. We talked about the assassination of Abe. We may get to that report here right near the end. I'm going to say it now, though. Is that shot going around the world? Not the herd around the world, like in Lexington in 1775. Is that shot in Japan going around the world, where we have people that continue to assert things they don't have the power to assert, it's not within their office to assert, they have no capacity, and it's contrary, it's treason on its face to say so against the actual purpose. I'm really, a part of me shudders to actually say that. That notwithstanding this, and we're watching this global change going on. I don't know if you paid attention. Lots of these leaders, man. Really interesting shakeup kind of going on. But it didn't matter what the Supreme Court said. New York's going to come right out and put more stuff on you. And so I would ask those of you in New York that might look at that very carefully. Look at where they may not have fixed it and go right in on an injunction and shut it down immediately. Start exercising, those of you that can, exercise your right to enjoin something and understand if you go to federal law and you can and you have to look at the case very carefully. You can use the federal precedent now that the injunction under federal rule happens very quickly, days. Days, folks. You get these answers very quickly. Enjoin, declare, declaratory judgment against your rights privately. These tools are there. And I think more people exercising them will, you'll get the muscle memory. You'll be able to figure it out and do it better. And if you lose, you can go back in and do it different. As long as you're not hit with it going with prejudice, and you always have a different right. You get to keep going in. You get to figure it out. Yeah, that's kind of a clumsy way. We should just be able to exercise that. But they're not allowing that. And so is it better to try and get the first foundational stone across the river of deceit laid by getting a declaratory judgment in your favor or an injunction against the legislation because of the recent precedent? Or do you chance it by going to the ultimate right to try to stop it and alter abolish it itself? My thought is a little bit more, I can't say it's passive, but it's a little bit more, what is the word? I don't know what the word is. It's just, the problem is tripping the ultimate answer for tyranny is not guaranteed. War is not guaranteed. We already found out, as I've said before, Lincoln beat that. And I think there's a spiritual and psychological chain on this as well till today. Why I don't think it's going to be proper to execute first. Again, more peaceful. I think that's us being better for us in the future. We set the better example. There's a couple cases I'm helping on. We set up the judiciary to give them the opportunity to do correctly so that when they're done, you don't have just an opinion to point to that they're corrupt. You have them on record that they've agreed they're corrupt. And so this governor didn't care, and it brings up the idea, well, is the Supreme Court irrelevant? Well, if it goes to the federal Supreme Court being irrelevant, which there's a good argument that it is, it is corrupt, right? If you look through the history of the organization and the establishment, they agree it changed in the Reorganization Acts. Maybe that's not what we want anymore. The real important problem is, what are we going to do about that? How exactly does that happen? It certainly isn't going to be to suffer governors like this, where the Supreme Court actively, finally, steps up to say, notwithstanding the reorganization, you still have the right, and it should not be encumbered. So I say, if it's not supposed to be encumbered, then what's the application for at all? Where was the authority at all to inhibit any carry in any place where an agent of government might cause a tyranny? And in particular, in light of this next story, Supreme Court effectively grants absolute immunity to federal cops. Supreme Court effectively grants absolute immunity to federal cops. Supreme Court let stand two appellate court opinions that in the effect give federal agents and local police deputized as federal agents absolute immunity from prosecution. The High Court's refusal to hear these cases follows on the heels of the decision of Egbert and Bull, that expanded immunity and makes it virtually impossible for people to sue Border Patrol agents for using excessive force. Now, I need to cut off here. Can't go into depth with this. Very interesting case came up that caused me to focus very quickly on this one because why? Well, my petition for redress talks about federal cops and state cops that are violating us on our mining claim. It speaks directly to remedy and what might be available. What's interesting is I noticed also a hesitation in the court effectively grants. Well, that's a hole. If you learn how to read, if you learn to listen to me for any time, you start looking for the hesitation. Effectively means that there's still an option. Well, it's interesting too, as I'm working on other cases, this particularly touches on what's going on in some other cases to deny equity. That this, the reason in these cases and the surface that I haven't gotten it as deep as I need to on these, but to let you know, because there is an absolute immunity, you're going to have, I told you, it's going to get tougher as we move on. It's going to be tougher for you to find the narrow path. That they refer here in the lack of picking up this case, it would suggest that the other litigants in this had an adequate remedy or did not have a cause to create the adequate remedy, because they mention that the cases that were before them did not exactly mirror, quote, exactly mirror those of Bivens versus six unknown named agents of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. That case was where I'm looking very close now, where the Supreme Court created, and it didn't actually, the way they described it, the Supreme Court created a remedy. But actually, that case explained that the federal jurisdiction acknowledges and recognizes and does do equity jurisdiction. And the Bivens case was a man who was found to have a cause without an adequate remedy. That the federal court could take cognizance of the cause through its equity jurisdiction side. That means, and if what's going on is the Supreme Court's constraining its view on Bivens to a very narrow view, which means it looks like it's pushing out all cases. It means that your case, if I've got this correct for now, means your case has to be strictly an equity case that has a cause of action. And so I went back and looked at my petition, and that's all that's been in my mind. The cause of action that I don't have relief, I don't have remedy. Yet I'm in a subject matter that's an irreparable harm that has to have a remedy. When they take property under any color, and there's no money, and it's acknowledged in precedent that no money can pay for the taking of land, that's irreparable harm without an adequate remedy. The adequate remedy has to be reduced to some certain fund, damages they call it, dollars, monetary compensation. When you confine your harm to an other than monetary compensation, if there's no monetary compensation, then that's the narrow path I'm anticipating. My intuition is telling me on some of the basic reading, I did some more research on the Bivens case. This is what's coming to me really quickly, that you need on this where it says, and it's a scary thing, folks, I'll just tell you, it sounds like they're taking this stuff away. The Supreme Court effectively grants absolute immunity to federal cops. They're fearing it's going to move into the state. What I'm going to suggest to you is that there is this immunity, and there is a qualification, and a lot of it I don't agree. In fact, this next one of the next articles in the line here, you're going to explain, here we have Whitehead again, exposing all these horrendously sounding things where the courts are given, the cops are given immunity to violate, to harm, to kill you, right? But this is about a particular remedy, and that remedy was acknowledged to be in equity, and equity requires that you have a cause that has no adequate remedy, and therefore the Federal Tort Claims Act, which offers money damages, would not be available to you. Now, hoping to make it too complicated, in this, it's serious that it looks like they're, again, effectively taking up and giving and granting absolute immunity to federal cops. But that, I told you before, it requires that you look very, very careful. They've made the path through there very narrow, and your cause will have to exactly mirror Bivens. In my view, on the surface, exactly mirroring Bivens would be that Bivens didn't have an adequate remedy at law, but the federal court has equity jurisdiction to provide an adequate remedy at law, that if you have a cause and an adequate remedy at law, then you don't have access through Bivens. And therefore, the cops, if you pose your record and they create a fabricated record to give them that qualified immunity, you will not get it. And so, a little technical. Hope I didn't blow you out, but or lose you. But it's very serious what they're doing. And yet, I tell you, there's these hesitations, these holes inside the statements that are what I focus on when I read them. It's like they go along and go along this absolute immunity, except that for these properly litigated cases, closed comma, on and on and on, that you don't have remedy. And that little clause inside that statement is the hole I jump in. I search out and I try to qualify. This case where it says that federal cops may be absolutely immune, in my estimation, on reviewing my own petition to redress before the sheriff, who still hasn't answered, and that caused me a ton of work. This case conditions what we did, though when I look back through, I think I already knew that. I already knew that narrow path, and I've actually, if you go read that petition, which you'll find at jeffersonminingdistrict.com, in either the eye of the donkey, the mule, or the backpack, you can see, if you read through it, 55 pages, it ended up being quite a work, that I am showing there is no adequate remedy at law for the type of invasion and trespasses that are going on by the federal and state cops. I claim a couple of times and show court cases that there is no adequate remedy where property is involved, property is stolen, trespassed, whatever they did. And so I want to be able to parse these all for you so we don't kind of throw our hands up and say there's nothing there. And part of that is how you show the distinction in your case. Nope, you guys are trying to go out on damages. I'm showing you that we have no adequate remedy. You're going to be liable. And when we go through, anyway, so I'll stop right there because it goes deeper into what you have to have better facts. Now, on the other hand, we said what? They're putting the impositions on your, despite what the Supreme Court said on owning a firearm, they have a qualification at all. I think the application itself is a violation. That will have to be specifically argued. Then we hear that the Supreme Court effectively grants absolute immunity. Then I want to remind you, I just went to any website that came to the city police. Any police do not owe a duty to protect American citizens. It says here that only the constitutionally elected county sheriff does. I don't even agree with that right now because our petition redress was to the sheriff and crickets. So it might be on the duty, and that's what I'm hitting him for, but they're not a response. It's not a guarantee. Remember, not only are the cops given immunity almost completely, they have no duty to protect you. And this, I grabbed this website. There's a ton of information on this website and a letter that's sent out on a discussion about it that explains what I told you before about no duty in the police. That it starts to develop, if you don't have a right to bear arms and you don't have, and there's absolute immunity for whatever the cops do, the oppressor and tyrant does, and you know they have no duty to protect you, I'm asking you again, where do you live? Do you live in a free land or do you live in an open air prison? Where I have another link here moving on, just through this website, found some more stuff to pull together just to show you can go look around. You can qualify all this yourself. That when you dial 911, we've said don't use 911. This title of this book, whether or not you get it, I don't know. I'm not advertising it. It's there for you, I guess, if you want it. You can look around. Dial 111 and die. I don't know how long I've been advocating that. I don't know how long I know the other hosts have advocated don't dial 911. Because what's being set up is that what looks to be an immunity in the cops, what looks to be no duty, they're working for the corporation, they're working for the government itself, not for you, and that you call them and they have absolute immunity, you're asking for trouble. It's not a country that a people that have the right to alter or abolish, I would have thought, would have allowed all this time. And so you start putting these tabs together, and they're telling a very dire tale, certainly contrary to most people's expectations, but something that was supposed to be fixed long before now. And then I move into now rogue cops, the Supreme Court is turning America into a constitution-free zone, written by John and Nisha Whitehead. And I keep referring to him, not because I'm actually embracing, his purpose seems a little bit more militant, if you will. And he admits, and this is what I got on this story, he's writing about the facts. He's supposed to be an attorney. He keeps filing paper. I don't necessarily agree with the tack they take in these papers. In fact, I've argued that he made the wrong argument, or they allowed the wrong argument to go on an amicus that should have never been made, that he made. So I'm not embracing this totally, but he does have a way of lining things out. In this court case, he lines out all the ways the cops have violated people and found to be immune, that I found instructive, and I think about, because if you listen to what I'm saying and you look at the kinds of situations you might find yourself, you'll realize what I've been telling you avoids their ability. When you know what to say or how to get them off of their, or get them out of their mindset, the cops, having no duty to you, they can rely on fear. You'll see in this article, fear is good enough. What I'm telling you to do, which is, again, your mileage may vary, and I've explained how I've done it, in particular to remind you, being in the river and having the sheriff, and I'm in a wetsuit on the river, and they came wanting to know why we were out in a wild and scenic river. And I told you that story, a couple times. You don't want to anger them. Or even with tasers, in a wetsuit, you don't want to anger them. Nonetheless, there's a way to approach, to get their mind off of all their highness, their immunity, and start to make the record you need to make. You remain silent on the important things that you need to not incriminate yourself on, and you impose the liabilities on them by what you bring out. Like I said, bring your bag of law. Show the objective basis that this story from Whitehead shows you all the situations you might be involved in, and you don't want to be in those situations because they're given immunity. Getting down to the bottom, because there's gobs and gobs of them. Yes, that's a technical term. That's a legal technical term. Gobs and gobs. He admits to the fact that the system is rigged because the government is corrupt, and because the United States Supreme Court has consistently chosen to protect the police at the expense of the people. We are dealing with a nationwide epidemic of court-sanctioned police violence carried out with impunity against individuals posing little or no real threat. And that's really the harm there. They're really, literally, no threat at all. And upon minor, even innocent things. That he writes that finally, I finally understand, even though he's writing paper, he doesn't even figure out that he's an attorney in the same system, in the judiciary, and the system's rigged. You're done. It sounds just like Carlin, doesn't it? I guess John Whitehead could be a comedian here soon, couldn't he? So this is what I appreciate in this story from him. And his list is a compilation of conditions I went through. I looked at, okay, so what am I saying to y'all? What I'm saying to do, how would we have negated these positions? Some of them are close. Some of them you could have taken them, they would have gotten rid of their ability to do what they're doing. Sometimes you just don't answer the door. How's that? You have to rethink, see the scenario, put it in your mind. It's like torture. Be prepared so that you don't step yourself into a problem as well. Avoid the problem. Get off the train track that they want to run you down with, and then you may be able to have a moment of time to have saved yourself. John Whitehead does a good job of giving us some of the heads up that I could never compile, and so I appreciate that effort from him. As we continue to see the law enforcement of the Fed, the immune, the kings, the sovereign citizen, as oxymoronic as that is, are exalted in this country, that we cannot trust them. DHS agents spied for China. I don't mean just trust. I mean, trust them, don't trust them, and you act and take responsibility for the failure of the trust in them that they are acting against you. Not that we just say, well, I don't trust them. Well, I already don't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. We got to take responsibility for this lack of ability to trust and that they're still going on. DHS agents spied for China, charged with attempts to suppress critics of CCP. Your own Department of Human Services agents and the active DHS, Department of Homeland Security teaming up with China to go after dissidents to China? Do I have to say more? Do you think there's a separation from this country, United States of America, from communism when they do this? Under the theory that there's some terrorism that we all know the governments themselves are creating in the people. They have no duty to you. Consider that. They have no duty to you. We also know Schmidt Mundt says they can go ahead and propagandize to us, so they can have no duty to you, set you up, take you down for their purpose, because they can claim it's national security need. And they're working with China. And they're not just working with China. Let me go on and on reading this stuff. Why, though? You can get the article. And thank you to those of you that are doing the downloads. I do appreciate it. I don't know who you are. I just see that there's clicks. I happen to have a little status. I go in. When I go in to set this broadcast up, I see clicks. Thank you for doing that much. It takes a long time. You can read. I hope you're reading the stories. I hope you're putting it together. I hope you see your own stuff. I hope you see how you might be able to use where these informations are going. The inner web is the battlefield of things. Department of Homeland Security has nothing to do with your security. They have no duty to you. We've allowed that to continue. The Supreme Court upholds that. On the one hand, they say you have the right to bear arms. On the other hand, they say the cop have the ultimate right to kill you. In other words, and I don't say this much, and I forgot to actually to say it, kind of slips my mind. I figure out there's lots that slips my mind. There's so much to say. When you are shown to have an absolute right to bear arms, whether or not concealed, the cops have the right, under the fear of themselves, fear of the fear they're going to be harmed, to presume you to be carrying and shoot you because you have a right to bear arms. If you haven't figured out how this is being set up. So be careful on what they tend to want to give you that they had no right to take, and what that's setting up in the minds of the oppressors to give license to do that extends over into being the governments working to secure their homeland. These oppressors under color of office working together to go after you in your country. In this case, the American DHS helping China to go after what the government feels is anti-communist and anti-socialist against the government. Doesn't that sound like our information board coming, this information board coming on? As we also see, UK signs deal to share. Not from China. We're going to go over to the other communist regime. The UK signs deal to share police biometric database with U.S. border guards. What was that case about the Supreme Court granting immunity to the border guard case? Folks, you hearing the connections in the tabs here, I hope? Do I need to read more, actually, just to tie this stuff together with the titles? I don't think so, but I'll read a little bit. The UK has signed up to a U.S. plan. Who's the hub here of this tyranny? The U.S. plan for sharing police-held biometric data about citizens with the U.S. border officials. Remember I told you, border authority exists, about 120 miles off? Supreme Court gave them that. And you have international ports around every airfield. All right? And so, how far do they, their jurisdiction, their absolute immune to your jurisdiction to come and kill you because they feared for their lives because you had the right to bear arms, might work its well out. Well, UK is doing the same thing. We're all in integration, global partners, aren't we? Forget the autonomy. No, we're still connected in different ways. UK has signed up to a U.S. plan for sharing police biometric data, which they are trying to gobble up like crazy with the internet battlefield of things, as we hear. It ain't going to be, he had to do it quick when he did so, but the shakeup in this world is kind of interesting to watch, of the leaders having trouble for all these woke impositions, all these beyond woke, these tyrannical impositions. British PM Boris Johnson steps down after scandals prop a wave of resignations. So you're watching the shakeup, you're watching this guy couldn't keep this thing together. Again, all these people are globalists. If you, they're the agents of the change. They're all the puppets. They're all the yes men. And you're watching a shakeup in the world right now. And part of that is because people are quaking the earth. This is all politics. People aren't putting up with it because that politics reached down in through three different levels of society and touched the producers. They touched where you live, and they were never supposed to touch it. Finally, people are stepping up. I don't know where the United States people are, because we should have been on the lead of this, with all our right to alter or abolish as we see fit. I don't know what more to say about this. This guy was a real problem and a joke, but that's for you in the UK to have seen or not. I doubt much is going to change. It becomes too embarrassing to continue the status quo. And apparently he is out, despite what he said about being around until 2030. And as a big troll to that, Russia came out with a Twitter, I think I saw, actually presenting that Boris Johnson saying he was going to be around until 2030. So, Russia knows how to meme and troll. But, again, the shakeup here coming, remember there were Brexit, this is all pretty much tied up. You start looking at what's going on. You start looking at the global surface layer of crime going on, and that's where it's integrated, why it's starting to collapse a bit. Well, I hope it continues. We are not slaves. We are farmers. Polish and Italian farmers rise up against government elites destroying their family businesses. Now, that, to me, this is the problem. Family business, production's not business. So we have a society. Across the globe, people have adopted this idea that a farm, because it's defined that way, is a business. And that is what brought them into servitude. Now, I'm saying that's for United States because they can't define you into a servitude when your land was granted to you without the servitude. They can't do that. Maybe they can do it in Europe. I don't know. However, the people that are the producers, and it's beyond the farms now, across Europe are starting to rise up, and they're driving into the centers of the population centers, and they're causing a lot of trouble. That farmers' protests continued in the Netherlands on Thursday, and now the movement is spreading. Farmers' protest was launched in Italy and Poland Thursday. Farmers in the Netherlands blocked supermarket distribution hubs in Monday, July 4th, which I don't know what they're doing there, because as soon as they stop producing food, there's nothing in the stores to sell anyway. It's not farm to market. And this whole thing has started out because the farmers are outraged over a new government regulation that forces them to reduce their nitrogen fertilizer compounds and limit their number of livestock. The farmers argue that these policies will bankrupt their businesses. My apprehension on businesses aside, they will be not able to continue their production. They will not be able to hold the land, which is really the actual target. The investors, the big money investors, are waiting for them to lose all this. They've put this fraudulent insertion of nitrogen on this. And I think it's nitrogen oxide. Anyway, it's the stuff that is created by cars and their pollution, the motor running pollution. It has nothing to even do with carbon here, does it? So this is just a big setup, but I think this is a bigger thing. These farmers have lands around, and understand Netherlands is one of the largest, if not the United States here, producers of produce outside of that country. It's apparently a very productive area, very high up, that they're taking up the farmer, and they're wanting to get land because these farms are close to high populations, and they want to then stack them and pack them. It's the ongoing destruction. So they take out your food, they kill people, they make it tougher to get food, they blame it on these chemicals that supposedly infect the environment, which is not. It's all a fraud, the whole entire thing. People are finally standing up against it, and again, I think properly so. I hope the protests, as a protest work, we'll see here that one group of people in the country moved on. They had a good statement. We're not really protesting. We have a grievance to speak to the president with. But back in the Netherlands, and remember, the Netherlands is tied to the United States as what I have not been able to find the debt owed to the Netherlands and the construction of the United States has never been paid. A continuing debt servitude, as far as my research shows, why I've told you Netherlands is always relevant in these matters, and also interestingly connected, and always in the news, if in a way, why to me this was even as much. But we see the first shots fired, not by the peasants, not by those deemed slaves to the urbanites, but a Dutch police shoot at 16-year-old driving a tractor, arrests 19 people at farm protest. We have video, I'll just give it to you, you can see a compilation of various videos around about this. The kid, you can see, I assume it's the kid in the tractor coming across a median in what appears to be a roundabout, not affecting anybody, and the cops come out and shoot at him. Luckily, they didn't hit him, but this is where the government goes to guns while the people go to tractors and pitchforks, hopefully, and torches, and more and more and more. And just, they again, if that's what you're going to do, and that's all you have in Europe, you don't have anything more powerful than a stone or a torch or a pitchfork, do it, folks. It's time. I've been waiting for some of this. It gets to the point beyond what I have to say. People aren't listening anyway in some regard. Some do, but the word doesn't get out. So there's no other thought. And in one regard, when they're attacking you on your farms, you don't have a time to think. And this is what I've been hoping we don't do as a people. We give ourselves the time to think. And I don't mean stick around thinking. We're actually moving as we're observing that we have to be what we have to be doing. I'm offering maybe a heads up on maybe the direction you'll go in order to make that a lot tougher for them to get to the point where they think they can shoot at a 16-year-old and a tractor just going over the road. But this is what they go to. See, they're immune everywhere, these cops. They don't care about you. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about whether or not you have a right to have a say, whether or not the government's supposed to hear you. What a remonstrance. Is that what we have in this country, United States? Do they have it back in Europe? Maybe some of you can tell me. You certainly didn't give me advice of how I'm going to redo this broadcast if I'm getting so many tabs to read. I'm now on like 3 levels of tabs I'm never going to get to, I think. What do I want to focus on now? That's what it just tells me. I need to start focusing something that the general listenership can adjust. But moving in through and on to the condition, farmers have had it, pitchforks and torches, the tractors are out. The United Nations scrubbed the article heralding the benefits of world hunger from its website after it went viral. Again, make it obvious they have to shut down. I've told you over and over, everything I've done, lots of things I've done to highlight corruption in the codes, the laws, like I was talking about the benchmarks for education relative to workforce productivity. Every time I'd come up with a paper I wrote back in the past, is back in the 90s, and or made an adjustment of that in a paper somewhere before the government, they would move that benchmark. They just can't be found out. They don't want to be found out. So it was found out that there was a statement about how world hunger actually facilitates people into being productive. What was I telling you? Higher workforce productivity was after what they're after. What they want to put you in prosperity. They want to make things more economic and teach in training you in the things they want you to be productive in. That being hungry, they claim, will make you more productive for them. It won't it? That's a truth. But it was on the United Nations website. Mounting evidence continues to emerge, proving the food shortages and supply chain disruptions are being manufactured by the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and the World Health Organization in an effort to institute a new world order global government and to destroy the United States. You didn't think it was coming here, did you? No, no, no. It's all tied together, okay? Your United States has already been involved and integrated and subverted and cancerized, metastasized. Your Modernization Act brought it in. Talk about, we heard Codex Alimentarius. Oh, it sounds pretty good, but when you start looking at what they're going to do with it, and you're going to be subject to that notwithstanding anything you thought you had, you start to understand a different thing. The UN understands they want you hungry because you're compliant when you're hungry. That article's, and it's gone, folks. Faster than your bank account under the digital system. And in these policies to cause genocide in the world and the population, interestingly, at the same time, didn't find interest in all these consistencies together and the coincidences. The United Nations throbbing that is also consistent with an explosion that was reported at the Georgia Guidestones, as I get from Leo Homan. The monument to the devil has been completely demolished since then. And you can track down some video. You see, it was one of the columns was blown up. I don't understand why those cameras didn't get anybody going in and showing the setup, how they set up the charges. Boy, there's a lot of questions here. However, they even show what they say is someone driving away in a silver coupe, I guess it is. Not sure what it all is. I didn't look too close. But them Georgia Guidestones just happened to be attacked and disappeared. And no camera was on the one who done it. At the same time, all this stuff is starting to be exposed. I don't understand the meaning. I really don't understand what the purpose is, one way or the other. It's certainly not going to be that monument again. What I did have a thought, though, and maybe someone can tell me, is I thought I had heard the importance of those, where they were, was on a ley line. But I couldn't find proof of that. It's actually just off of a ley line. But just an esoteric view of that. I just wanted to a fanciful look at that. However, because that just ties in more to what we're dealing with on the Gaia principle. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Those Guidestones are gone. You know, the government, it was on county property. They came in and under the conversation that it was a safety hazard, took them all down. I suppose they did their criminal, investigation. And being that this was attributed to be like a second 9/11, I guess to some, I hope they did the crime investigation better than Giuliani oversaw in the dismantling and sending to China the debris of the Twin Towers. Interestingly, coincident. So, as we move through on those stones, a ton of stuff, even some interesting concepts you might actually agree with, not having any petty officers and laws around. Yeah, that makes sense. Know that these people keep bringing it on. I won't go more into that. It was an interest, but not an interest for me. It is a true truth that's out there. It's now gone. Like any, maybe this was the counter to removing statuary in our country. So maybe now we have an internal war going on we don't know about. However, there was proofs about that. They did talk about diminishing the population on that. Interestingly, consistent with the Deagle site, and along the lines of that, and along the lines of the promotion and the support that's given through various actions of legal or official recognition, as we go through, and a surprise to me, disturbing, again, in the idea that we're moving through a time of depopulation, if we didn't see it could happen, in the last few years have told us that can be changed real quick. Disturbing weed killer ingredient tied to cancer found in 80% of the urine samples, U.S. urine samples, as the report, again, astonishing, surprising to me, they couldn't see past the, I can't even say that, past the PCR. Is that wrong too? The report by the United Unit of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that 2,300 or so urine samples taken from a group of Americans intended to be representative of the United States population, of them, 1,885 were laced with detectable traces of glyphosate, this is the active ingredient in herbicides sold around the world, including widely used Roundup. That was not supposed to be a persistent, remember? There's a fraud there. They're not shutting it down. They let it go. Monsanto pushes it forward. Bayer, one's making your aspirin, I suppose. Aspirin. Moves in this through, they now show that there's non-persistent glyphosate in your system, in your urine. And yet, I'm wondering, how the heck did they find that by using the PCR? Since that's the most important thing I've ever seen in all my life, that so says the CDC. Oh, did I just do it again? Sound minds. Anyway. So, a non-persistent chemical is in 80% of the urine samples tested, as the CDC finds. How they got past the last 2 years of proof that I don't even know what to call it here. I need to still settle down. The juice caused that they didn't, that the harm that we're seeing at VAERS is not caused by the sticker, but everything else. How they found this, I'm just astonished. Astonished. But 80% of you need to change your water and your food source, because they're trying to take you out. As we see that another sticker, Gene Juice Sticker Company, drops India application after regulators seek local trial, as the governments now are pressing upon these manufacturers of sticker juice. They have in India drop. This starts another story that we see. The judge orders the government in Uruguay to cause a sticker juice company to turn over documents. The court considers request to halt the stickers for kids in Uruguay. A judge does this. Okay, so now the countries are finally coming on. I guess maybe the jig is up for these folks. That when these demands come on, in India they pulled the application. The sticker juice company pulls the application. And then there was a tweet that came out. And I only include this to show you that the tweet came out to say that they did the same thing. They pulled the application in Uruguay after being pressured. Twitter suspends that account. All you see is the answers to it, because the question was, what's in the ingredients? Someone says, we know what was in there. And then he says, this is conspiracy theorist makeup stuff. But you know, there's four ingredients that you can't know. One's absolutely proprietary, and three are special made knowns that are not exposed. And so this guy on top doesn't understand. But you'll notice the one who said, and I couldn't prove it, that they've pulled, the sticker juice manufacturer pulled their application from Uruguay, happened there, that account got suspended. And so, again, we see blood on the hands of those that would keep the truth from us. Even if it was not true that the application was pulled, it was the truth that a Uruguayan judge ordered that they produce documents that we know, even in the United States, they did not want to do. The government agency itself asked the court to withhold the requirement to do so for 75 years. It is not a good sign for trust. And I'm not going to be able to get to those stories today, which go on quite a bit today. I did it again to myself. And I kind of apologize for that, because I don't like to go so far out and miss the punchline. And we really needed to get to the punchline on this, which I suppose is the trust. And I think I was going to there. If you don't have trust, you have to act respondent. Sri Lanka is showing us that. They're not going to protest. They're going to give the president a piece of their mind. They moved. You need to see, I think I'll throw that in later. You need to see the last minute, last after a minute of a news report that brings in the World Bank and the World Food System, that Sri Lanka running president was saying needs to fit, to show you the global control on the Sri Lankan people. And I sure hope they see through it and keep their government in suspension so that can't happen. Hope something I said today was helpful to you and that it gets you going, and maybe think about it and then take an action, take responsibility. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Well, that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.